Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, Meeting on Air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting this morning with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Now, this morning we'll be hearing from three speakers from the St. Matthew's The Way Out meeting. The St. Matthew's The Way Out meeting meets every Thursday at 8 p.m. and you can find them at St. Matthew's Church in the city right here in Auckland. Our first speaker this morning is Shane. Would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Shane. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Experience, strength and hope. I came to AA because basically I couldn't stop drinking. Growing up, in my teens, I probably started drinking in my late teens, and it was fun, and I really enjoyed it, and I was really good at it, and then I got into an industry that it was part of the culture, and I don't know where the scales tipped, but they probably tipped, from that first drink. Is that I remember the first time I got drunk is that I drank to excess and threw up, and that continued. But probably in my 20s, I in the industry I was in, a creative industry, it was applauded that you got hammered. You worked really hard and then you played really hard. And, it was, I suppose my alcoholism was hidden in the industry, and then I kind of learnt skills to hide it as well. And, I got into my 30s and I got married and I had a couple of kids and that was all good. But, the alcoholism, the cracks started to show. And I would, like the big book says, is that I started swearing off I wouldn't drink brandy, thinking that would, that would sort me out. Then I'd swear off rum, and then I'd swear off bourbon, and then I'd swear off scotch. Then I'd swear off red wine, then I'd swear off white wine, and then I was left with beer. And then, for me to get a buzz off beer is that I'd have to drink a hell of a lot of beer. And so I did. And then things started to go bad. I was the person that was made redundant, and that happened several times. And I really thought it was just the industry I was in. But, in hindsight, now I look back and I think, well, maybe it was my alcoholism. And then also, on my personal life, it started to impact that, and I started to hide it more. And I would swear off alcohol, for a little while, and then have one and then not be able to stop, and it just kept on. It was like a graph where I'd have a peak and then I'd have a low, and I would stop drinking for a while, and then I'd have a couple, and quickly it would go to excess once again, and to the point where I woke up one morning and I heard my five-year-old son crying and downstairs, and I knew the gig was up. Is that I'd lost everything, you know. I'd lost my kids, my wife, the house. And strangely, you know, I had a business, but I didn't lose that because, you know, I was a high-performing alcoholic. But on my personal side, you know, that was dead in the water. And so that's where, you know, I'd hit rock bottom, and I walked through the doors of AA. And I'd done that previously, but I don't think I'd hit a low enough ebb to actually kind of get AA the program. And so, yeah, I've been coming up 5 years, and just the thing that really changed my life was that I started listening to people in the rooms of AA and hearing all the similarities and you know, and then giving it a good shot, you know, giving it a chance for me to understand. You know, it was quite heavy at the start, and there, you know, and it was hard going at the start, but you know, down the track now is that, you know, I have a very successful business, you know, I've got an ex-wife, but we're good friends, you know, and I love my kids, and I'm very close to them, and I spend lots of time with them, and yeah, I have a very, very fulfilled life now. But, you know, one of the main things in my life is to keep on going to meetings and keep the principles of AA in my life. So, yeah. When I first came into the AA rooms is that, well, I'd been in probably 10 years prior to coming in seriously, and I remember going to a meeting in, I think it was Mount Roskill, and I walked in, and there was, you know, the word God, which, you know, it put my heckles up instantly, and I, and you know, when the meeting finished, I didn't stay for a cup of tea. I was out that door, and you know, before then. Before I came into the rooms, you know, I'd tried the psychologist, I'd tried a psychiatrist, I'd been to CADS, the program where, you know, it was talked about controlled drinking, and it really did help me for a while, because when I was in CADS, I remained abstinent, and after that, I didn't have any support. And within probably 3 months, you know, I picked up a drink, and it was I remember it was just a six pack of Heineken, and I had that first one, and within under an hour I'd finished that six pack, and away I went again, and you know, really into the abyss until, you know, probably 3 years later. Where I'd hit that rock bottom. And the other thing I alluded to was the God word. And this time coming in and hitting rock bottom, there's a great saying in AA, and the great saying about God, it's a gift of desperation. And I was desperate. And the thing that was explained to me at the start that it's a spiritual program, it's not a religious program, and I kind of got that, is that I had to believe in something greater than myself, because basically myself wasn't actually doing too well, really, you know, losing kids, losing everything, really, and it's also great for my soul where I can... If something's worrying me that I have no control over, I can pass that over and let that, just let it go and let it, get it off my chest, and it's a very, very therapeutic way of living my life and basically lowering the stress, really, and putting principles and putting, I'd say, morals in my life of being the best person I can on a daily basis. And it saved my ass, and you know, for the people that are suffering out there, I thoroughly recommend it. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks Shane. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. Our second speaker this morning is Giles. Do you want to share?
Hi, I'm Giles. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Giles.
And I come to these meetings because I can't stay sober on my own. Like, I couldn't get sober on my own. In many respects, my story's pretty typical in terms of the progression that my drinking took. From the moment I started, it was obvious that alcohol had a big hold over me. I didn't start hugely young. I think I was about 12, 13 years old, but I remember taking that first drink and just being shocked at how something could make me feel so different. I remember being shocked that it was even legal for something, you know, to have such a profound effect. But from the moment I tried it, I drank alcoholically, and I couldn't wait to do it again. Up until that point, I think I'd been a fairly happy kid, you know, somewhat withdrawn at times, but certainly not unhappy. And that changed as my relationship with alcohol changed. The older I got, more frequently I'd drink, and I'd become more restless and irritable and generally discontent when I wasn't drinking. I guess you could say that the power and the hold it had over me grew as my relationship changed with alcohol. Now, through my teens, the effects of my drinking weren't too devastating. In many respects, life was still fairly manageable. I still achieved well at school, and I maintained good relationships with friends and family, and I managed to get into university. And when I went there, I found myself in an environment where I didn't have to wait till weekends to drink or term holidays. I could drink every day, and that's what I did. If I spread my drinking around various groups of people, then I thought it would look like maybe I was just drinking like your average student, that I wasn't actually drunk every day, that this wasn't really how I was organising my life. But slowly, it really started to catch up with me. Life was no longer manageable after a couple of years at university. I couldn't make it through the day without a drink, and I could never have just one drink. Inevitably, I'd end up blackout drunk every time I picked up a drink, and that's when the unmanageability really started to show. I stopped going to lectures, I stopped communicating with my friends and family, and my life became really narrow to the point where I didn't want to go out the house. I just wanted to stay at home and drink, and obviously that was no way to live, but for the life of me at the time, I couldn't see anything that was wrong with it. There was a lot of excuses during this time, and I used to tell myself, well, yeah, this is just a phase. Perhaps I'll grow out of it, or I'm just going through a rough patch at the moment, and I need to be doing this. But the reality was, it didn't get better, and eventually things got bad enough for me to admit that I had a problem. And I've been trying to do a law course, and I'd been desperately trying to study for an exam, and I tried to not have a drink the day before, and I made it till about the early afternoon and thought, oh, I can't study like this. I'll just have a couple of drinks, and then I'll be able to study for this exam tomorrow. And I couldn't tell you what happened after that. One of my flatmates managed to get me out of bed and to the exam the next morning, but by the time I sat it, I had no recollection of the day before, and I was drunk going into this exam. And I remember walking out of it and thinking, you know, when I was younger, this is just not what I had planned. You know, yesterday, this is not what I had planned. I was meant to stay sober and do this exam and not get drunk. And I saw a helpline for Alcoholics Anonymous at my campus health centre, and I decided to jot down the number and call it. And two guys came out and spoke to me, and I really related with them, and they took me to a few meetings, and I started having a go, but I didn't do it wholeheartedly. I drank again, and the next time I drank, I woke up in hospital with no recollection of what had happened and how I'd got there and what I'd done. And a man from the fellowship came to pick me up, and him and I sat down, and he asked me some very simple questions. He basically asked me, had I had enough yet, and was I willing to go to any lengths? And by this point, the only answer I could give was yes. You know, I still couldn't imagine for the life of me what life would be like without alcohol and things, but I just knew that I couldn't go on living this way because it was just too painful. I couldn't take any more. I identify that now as the point where I got willing to really give this thing an honest go, and that's when things started to change for me. You know, earlier I talked about how life had been unmanageable and I couldn't make any commitments or maintain relationships, and that sort of outward manageability was the first thing to change. All of a sudden I could do things and be helpful to others, and then what I realized was that the outward manageability wasn't the thing that was really affecting me. It was my emotional life, and that as soon as I started drinking, life had never really been emotionally manageable. And that was part of the reason why I used to pick up. So through having an honest go and working the steps and doing those suggested things like getting a sponsor and reading the big book and regularly attending meetings and doing service, slowly I started to work through all these various issues that used to lead me to picking up a drink. That obsession to drink, that compulsion, finally left me. Now, I could never have imagined that leaving me when I was drinking. I thought that that was always going to be there, that I'd just have to live with that, sort of grip my teeth and bear it. But that's not the life I live today. The life I live today is one which is free from that alcoholic obsession to drink. I don't live a life that's dominated by alcohol. I'm free to do what I want in this life. I've heard it put before, and this is the way that I like to put it, is that before I came into AA, I didn't have the freedom to not drink. And through working the steps in the program, I've gained that freedom to not drink. And the life I have today is very, very different. It's emotionally manageable. I have good relationships. I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, and I can generally say with some form of certainty that I won't show up absolutely drunk. In a couple of months' time, I'll be 3 years sober, and that really shocks me. But the only thing I can say is that it's just happened doing this thing one day at a time. And as soon as I got to the point where I was willing to give an honest go, that's when things changed for me. And it hasn't been easy, but it's been the best thing I've ever done in my life. And I don't know. I don't even want to think about what life would be like if I hadn't got to a place where I was willing to stop and give it a go. So I'm very grateful to be here today, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thanks, Charles. You're on 104.6 Planet FM and listening to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA Meeting on Air. Our last speaker this morning is Richard. Would you like to share?
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Hey, Richard.
Just like the guy, same drinking story. As a teenager, I didn't realise, but I always drank to excess. I never realised until I got sober that other people who aren't alcoholics didn't drink like me. That was a real shock to find that out. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous when my drinking had just been escalating over the years, and I can look at different points, a death in the family, just different things that happened. It just kept getting worse and worse. But I'd never been able to just have one or two drinks. It was always, you know, one or two bottles, in the end drinking to blackout. Just no control over how much alcohol I drank, basically. It really escalated, and I got to a point where my partner of 20 years had just really had enough, and I was making some very stupid decisions at work. At work, I just didn't know what was going on during the day. You know, I was just going home. By 4 o'clock, I was hanging out for a drink and just topping up. So I called a neighbour of mine, actually, who I sort of knew had something to do with AA. And I'd always admired this guy. He used to come to parties, and I used to socialise with this couple. And he was always happy, never had a drink, but was always happy, cracked a joke, etc., etc. So that was the guy I called, and that's how I ended up going to my first meeting. it's something I'll never forget, really, that A, deciding to make that call and then having my first meeting. And it was actually a sense of relief to realise that yes, I am an alcoholic. he told me that night, he said, "Richard, you'll never be able to have another drink in your whole life." And I thought, oh, I didn't know how it was going to pan out. But just by keeping on going to meetings, I've gradually learned. I'm coming up to my third AA birthday, 3 years sober, and it's been a great journey. But it has been a very slow process. But I've likened it to going to university, like a 3-year degree, sort of first, but didn't know what was going on, very difficult. But gradually, by listening to the other men and women in the fellowship that are going through the same thing, you gradually learn how to rebuild your life. There's literature. I started to read the big books and the 12 steps. And those sorts of things I very much tried to do on my own at first. But the big thing with AA is that you're really called to ask for help. And that's one of the big things I had to do was had to ask to be helped. Like, what do I do? And so I got a sponsor who guided me through the 12 steps, really, and the big book. And that's something, you know, that's still very much going on today. I've got a life. I've rebuilt my life through going through the 12 steps, basically, and just keeping on going to meetings. It's a life where I can control my emotions. I'm not full of resentment anymore. For most of the time, it's a life that's quite joyful and quite peaceful, as opposed to when I was drinking. It was all quite mad and full of resentment, full of depression and anger. One of the big reasons for stopping drinking is after that first drink, That's one thing I learned in AA, actually. Don't pick up the first drink. I never knew that. I always tried to moderate my drinking, slow it down, never could. So it was here I learned, don't pick up the first drink, because that's what gets me into trouble. I thought drugs were my problem for a time, because after that first drink, you know, I'm up for anything. But basically, I learned that my body is allergic to alcohol. So if that goes into my system, you know, all bets are off. But without that first drink, I have a semblance of control. And what AA does for me now, the meetings and the 12 steps, it's given me a way of living my life, I guess is the best way to put it. There's no rules. There's no condemnation, actually. Nobody actually tells you what to do. There's a lot of support, though, and it's just interesting listening to how other men and women handle just all the stuff life throws at you throughout the day, basically. So you get a lot of support through this program. My life now, sort of nearly three years without a drink, is really going from strength to strength. It's, as I said, you know, I can control myself and my situations. And there's different methods I've learnt to control, you know, feelings of depression or anger or resentment. There's lots of processes, just of learning experience involved with this, but there's just a lot of commitment from the fellows in AA, and a big thing is there's no judgment. You know, you can be who you are. There's suggested principles for living, but you can mould them, I guess, to your beliefs and to the way you understand life to be. Yeah. So it's a great life being sober. It's great having some control in your life, and it's also great reaching out for others. This is sort of quite strange to come and speak on a radio thing, but one of the big things in AA is that one of the principles is we're taught to share the principles, I guess, of how we get sober. Like, we give away this as something, you know, which was a free gift given to us, you know. So we're here to help others, pass on the principles, and take good care of ourselves as well. Some of the guys said about going to psychologists and different people to try and get sober. You know, I did all that, trying in my search to get sober, you know, and control my drinking. It never worked, and, you know, I was never really honest with people about how much I drank to start off with. So, it's a good life in AA, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening this morning and you identify with what you've heard and you think you may have a problem with alcohol, you can phone 0800 AA Works. This will put you in contact with a member of Alcoholics Anonymous in your local area. There are over 120 meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. And to find out more about these, you can log on to aa.org.nz. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA Meeting on Air. And we'll close our meeting with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
If you'd like to listen to this program again, you could log on to planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air.